What's up, world? We're back. We're back with another abbreviated episode of the Act Protect Engage, known as Ape Academy Podcast. I say this abbreviated because we're going to give you a short podcast today and a bonus longer podcast tomorrow, the next day, whenever you listen to it. All right, the next one will be longer. We're going to tell the story of three African-American privates in the 1st Rhode Island Regiment. All right, that's what we're going to do today. I really want to get you guys to kind of see some of the stories, kind of hear some of the stories of these soldiers. You know, we talk about them and, you know, we envision them in our heads, and we see soldiers in paintings and in textbooks, but they were real life people. They had stories. They had specific, unique experiences. And especially from the African-American perspective, it's very interesting to see what their backgrounds were coming into the 1st Rhode Island Regiment. All right, we're going to do three soldiers today. God bless y'all. I'm so happy you can join us. Once again, please follow us, IG at Ape Academy Podcast. That is my personal, as the host, my personal site, my personal profile. If you want to go to the official a.p.e profile, we just started it. We only got like 168, 170 followers, but we're trying, man. a.p.e history pod. a.p.e history pod. We are on IG. We're on TikTok at Ape Academy Podcast. All right. So we're going to hop right into it. The first soldier we're going to talk about is Prince Bent. Okay, he was enslaved. He was an enslaved man, and he joined the Rhode Island Regiment as a private. He was enlisted in the regiment as a private, as were most men of color, to include Native Americans. All right, they also served in the regiment. Prince Bent was born in Africa along the Guinea coast, and he did not know how old he was, but enlistment records indicate he was estimated to be 20 when he was enlisted into Colonel Green's regiment in 1778. He stood at 5'4" and worked as a laborer in Westerly, Rhode Island before he served. He served at Saratoga in the Sullivan-Clinton campaign, at the Battle of Yorktown, and in the Oswego expedition. At some point, he was captured and spent 8 months as an enemy prisoner before escaping. He applied for a pension in April of 1818. It is unknown if his application was granted. All right. That is quite a story. You know, it's tough with the historical record going back that far. It's tough to kind of piece together information. Real quick, this is from the National Park Service, all right? National Park Service. You can find all this information online. Our next more detailed episode, we're going to have a bunch of different sources. We're just telling the story of a few special soldiers. All right. Our next guy is Mr. Cato Green. He was also enslaved, and he was a private in the Rhode Island Regiment. Cato Green was born around 1760, somewhere in the modern nation of Guinea in Africa. In his youth, he was captured and sold as a slave in the British colony of Rhode Island. When the American Revolution broke out, Cato enlisted in the Continental Army in July of 1778 to, quote, obtain his freedom. Under Colonel Green and Colonel Olney, his regiment served in various locations across the whole Northeast. All right, he was mostly serving in the Northern Campaign. He also worked as a servant for Colonel Olney. In the fall of 1781, he participated in the Battle of Yorktown, which was, of course, a huge battle, with the rest of the Rhode Island Regiment. The following winter, his company was sent to the Mohawk Valley to raid and capture British Fort Oswego, along with the eastern end of Lake Ontario. This was a grueling, brutal campaign, if you don't know about it. During the disastrous January 1782 campaign, freezing weather conditions led to at least 10 members of his company dying within a one-week period. Countless others were maimed for life by frostbite and other injuries. Cato did not record any personal injuries, fortunately, in the campaign. He was honorably discharged on June 15th, 1783. Wow, what a story that was. He sounded like an ex. I mean, they all sounded like such amazing, dedicated soldiers. To serve like that when you came from being enslaved, to have the courage and to care enough about your captors that you want to fight for their cause when you have no reason to believe that you'll get the same treatment if you even win the war, is a pretty amazing, I can't even imagine. All right, so our last soldier is Mr. Prince Vaughn, Private Prince Vaughn, who also served in the Rhode Island Regiment. All right, Prince Vaughn was born circa 1763 in Rhode Island. He stood 5 feet 4 1/2, and he also worked as a laborer. Vaughn enlisted in the Rhode Island Black Regiment in 1777, and he was 19, and he served for the duration of the war. The whole war he fought on the front lines. He fought at the Battle of White Plains at Yorktown, and of course participated in the Oswego Expedition in winter of 1782 to 1783. During this ill-fated campaign, his right foot and toes were completely frozen, as well as several toes on his left side. He was left with a disability for the rest of his life. He was granted a pension in 1785 on account of his injuries. To help support himself, he worked as a shoe shiner and ran an oyster stand in New York City. In 1818, after 4 years of suffering from illness, the entirety of his earthly goods totaled only $1.82. Think about that. Years and years of service on the front line for a country that really doesn't respect you, and he only has $1.82, less than $2. That's not a lot of money now. And I know that wasn't a lot of money for an enslaved person, even during the American Revolution, even during the Revolutionary War period. That same year, he applied for another pension, which was awarded at the rate of $8 per month. According to his pension testimony, he had no family. He passed on November 23rd, 1820. All right, so that's the profile of three courageous soldiers of the 1st Rhode Island Regiment. And later, it was integrated into the 2nd Rhode Island Regiment. So it really was like one of America's early integrated units on the national army scale. All right, the militiamen, the Minutemen, had been integrated loosely for a while before that. But this is the first real official, polished, disciplined, integrated unit. All right? Man, you know, talking about these soldiers is so inspiring. These heroes are so inspiring to me as a combat veteran. I can't imagine standing on the front line, seeing those British redcoats standing in front of you. And the British were known to be perhaps the best infantry on the planet, the best military, definitely the best navy, the best overall military in the entire world, fighting a tiny upstart ragtag, you know, poor nation. It was unbelievable. And in order to succeed, America really had to come together. And when I mean come together, they had to, or they were going to be annihilated. And we have to remember also that the American Revolutionary War was not a unified effort among Americans. Actually, there weren't really even Americans at the time. There were still subjects of the crown, and many Americans remained loyal to the British throughout. So we had, there were enemies amongst themselves, right? Like, you could not trust. This was truly a war. You could not trust anyone. This was truly a war between brother and brother, father and son, cousins, etc. All right, man, a quick episode, just a teaser episode right now. I want to continue this discussion in our next episode. God bless y'all. We love you. Put God and your family first. Remember, follow us on IG. We're trying to grow this following. We're working hard. I'm researching every day to try to get the best content available. Ape out.